Dear Father, we do come before you this morning humbly, realizing that we exist here today. Our very birth is because you are the Creator. And so you're totally responsible for our physical life. But Father, we also know that you're responsible for our rebirth if we have been born again. And we are very grateful for that as well. I mean, our life and our spiritual life is due to you. So we come before you realizing that we are totally relying upon you for those things. Father, another thing we're totally relying upon you for is you give us understanding of your word. And we pray that you do just exactly that this morning as we open up the word, as we spend time in it together. I pray that you'll help each one of us to take away from this morning's time what you want each one of us to take away. I know a number of different people here this morning, different situations, different needs. Lord, we pray you'll meet each and every person from your word. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, I've been noticing how much we love predictions in this country. You watch the news, it's always, the Ohio poll says this, the Florida poll says, you know, everything's poll, right? Predicting, people want to know what's going to take place. Also, you know, if you have a phone these days that lets you have apps on it, you'll notice there are a number of programs on these phones that are predictive in nature. For instance, on my phone, there's a weather app where you can hit it, and it will show you, if you look at today's forecast, it'll show you the weather from now until, I think it's next, a week from Tuesday. You can get the forecast that far down the road, right? And so we have that available. Of course, there's a stock market app that will let you see what the trends have been on the stock market the last 2 years and the last year and the last 6 months and last month. And even the last day, like what it's done all the way through the day, if you want to go to that. Like, you know, people like to know what's going on as they make their decisions. And, oh, yes, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the GPS maps that are available. So as you navigate from one place to the next, you can just put it on. You can even have a voice activator where it can tell you where to go, right? And it's a great deal. We were just, in fact, this past week, we're going from Denver to Greeley. And I was talking to someone. I said, I think we're going to get there about 1:15. What time do we walk into the building? It was 1:15. GPS was pretty accurate. It assumes, of course, you're driving the speed limit, right? My wife was driving. I have to give her credit for that. But, you know, we love those things because they help us have a, they help us feel anyway that we're more in control of our life, right? People like that. They really do. That's why we like it so much. You know, the people in Jesus' day were no different. Like us, there was a security that came to being able to predict the future and be able to use it to their advantage. You know, we've been working our way through the sermon of Jesus, beginning in chapter 12, verse 1. We'll actually be continuing with this another week when we do this series to chapter 13, verse 9. This has been one long message that Jesus has been giving. As I've been thinking about that and sort of reflecting on that this past week, you know, it's like Jesus has been warning the people he's been speaking to throughout this message, warning them about being earthly, about being earthly. He warned them early on, don't be hypocritical. That is, don't be appear to be one thing, but really you're something else, and it's going to be revealed. There's a day of revelation of who you really are. He was also telling them, don't be earthly in the sense that you reject Jesus. That's what the earth, that's what the world's doing, is rejecting Jesus. We need instead be receiving him. We need to be confessing him before men. Jesus also says, don't be earthly as and being selfish. That's the nature of mankind, to be selfish. Rather, we need to be rich toward God. It's a message he's been giving in this chapter we've been going through. He's also said, don't be worried about the needs that you have. That's what the world does. But you're not to do that. You're to not be anxious. But instead, you're to invest in unfailing treasure in heaven. That's what you need to be doing. He mentioned to them, don't be negligent about my return. Or don't be disobedient. That's what the earth is doing. That's what the world is doing. Instead, you need to be alert. You need to be ready. You need to be obedient, ready for my return. See, all throughout this chapter, this theme of not being earthly, but being prepared otherwise, is Jesus is giving. He also said, don't be like those who say, there's no judgment coming. We talked about that last time. But recognize that it is coming, and Jesus death and resurrection was more than sufficient to pay for our sin. We are broken and we need Jesus. As we wrap this chapter up, not the message, the sermon, because we'll go one more week with it, but Jesus is saying in this chapter, you know, the earth has tremendous earthly discernment, but it needs to have spiritual discernment. So as we get into the last text, part of this text this morning, that emphasis is going to really come out. Well, let's take a look at this together. I'd like to just say, when Jesus has been going through this sermon, he's addressed different types of people. He's addressed his disciples. He's addressed the an individual man who came up to Jesus wanting him to divide his family inheritance. And of course, Jesus talked to the multitude, to the crowds. And in this particular part of the message, Jesus is speaking to the crowd. So keep that in mind as we get into this together. Four main points as we go through this morning. The first one is this. The crowd who Jesus spoke to, the crowd knew how to predict weather. Okay? The crowd knew how to predict weather. Notice what Jesus says in 54. He says, he was also saying to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it turns out. Where these people were, to the west was the Mediterranean. And they had come to realize that when they saw a cloud beginning to form, there was a body of water there, they could predict that there would be rain that came from that cloud. And Jesus says, you learn that when that cloud forms in the west and it comes, you're going to get rain. And so it is. He's saying, you've got that prediction nailed. You know it. You've got it down. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on with another weather forecast routine they use, which is this. He says, and when you see a south wind blowing, you say it will be a hot day. And it turns out that way. You see, to the south, there was Arabia. There was Egypt. There was Ethiopia. These hot desert regions. And of course, when the winds would come from that area, it was going to make for a hot day. We can identify with that too. We get south winds in the summertime. We can predict that as well. Jesus says, you've got that down too. You're right. The south wind comes, it's going to be a hot day. You've got that figured out. So he told them, you understand these weather predictors, these weather forecasting tools that you use, just these observations. Do you know what? In our day, we know how to use predictions to our benefit as well. I mentioned earlier, we're filled with predictions. In this life, we understand that our life is temporary. And in order to protect our family, we may take out a life insurance policy so that if our life ends prematurely or before we hope it does, our family will be provided for. Some people will use that. Some people, when they do financial planning, you go to a financial planner and they say, okay, how aggressive do you want to be with this investment? How close to retirement are you? That kind of depends. Let's put together some investment strategy that's going to work for you. And because of this prediction, you hope that at the end of that time, you have a fund that you can have to draw on and have some resources to live with towards the end of your life. We use that. We love the weather, by the way, right? I mentioned that earlier, right? If the weather forecast is important for several ways. If you're a painter, you're wanting to paint the outside of your house. Okay, don't think you're going to choose a day where there's a 100% chance of rain that day, right? Not a good plan. So we use that. Or if you're a farmer, the weather forecast makes a big difference in when you decide to lay that hay down, right? It's important. So the weather forecast makes a big difference for us. We use it to our advantage. We have a blood test taken. The results come back, and we may use those results to help predict what might be an issue for us, and we try to take care of it before it becomes a major problem. We use that to our advantage. You go to a restaurant, and you see a long line waiting to get in. And even though you don't know exactly how long it's taken, your experience has taught you that when you have a long line in that place, it's probably going to be an hour before we get seated here. I don't know if I want to go here. Let's go someplace else for lunch. Again and again, we've learned to use those predictors in life to our advantage, as the people in Jesus' day did concerning the weather. So here's the application point for us. Man uses predictions to look out for his interest. Man uses predictions to look out for his interest. And Jesus is making that so clear with this group. You've got this weather thing nailed down. You're able to predict these indicators with the weather. You've got it. The earth, the world has a great ability, tremendous ability, to be able to use predictive resources to predict what's going to take place. It's incredible how that's been developed even since Jesus' day. The world has this craving desire to know what's going to take place so they can act and be in an advantage. It was true in Jesus' day. It's true in our day as well. We need to understand that. But notice, these are all about worldly, earthly predictions. Look at the second point here. The crowds was hypocritical because they examined earthly predictions, but not spiritual ones. The crowd was hypocritical because they examined earthly predictions, but not spiritual ones. Look at what Jesus said in verse 56. He says, "You hypocrites," which is a play actor, a pretender. Again, someone who appears to be something that they're not. "You appear to be one who examines things. You know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky," again, they're great weather forecasters, "but you do not know how to analyze the present time." He's saying, you know, you have these predictions which you try to use to your advantage, but I've been telling you throughout this sermon I've been giving about this judgment that's coming, and yet you don't know how to analyze the time for spiritually what's going to take place. So Jesus calls them hypocrites because of that. You see, these people in this crowd, many of them had seen John the Baptist. They'd heard his message. They'd seen Jesus' miracles. They'd observed that. They were firsthand observers of these things. And they heard Jesus' divine teaching. In fact, there are portions of Scripture in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that tell us that the crowds who heard Jesus were amazed at his teaching because of the authority in which he taught. They were amazed at it. Great authority. They were just overwhelmed by his teaching. They were firsthand witnesses of that. And they also had Old Testament messianic prophecies. Up here this morning, I have a sheet of paper that has like 44 different Old Testament prophecies of Jesus and then how they're fulfilled in the New Testament. We're certainly not going to take a look at all 44 of those, but I'd like to take a look at one. One in the book of Psalms, 78, 2 through 4 says this. Okay, I think we have an overhead slide here. Psalm 78 verses, here we go. "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done." That's what it says in Psalm 78. Many recognize this as a messianic passage, speaking ahead of the Messiah. But look at what it says in the Gospels. Next passage we see in Matthew 13. "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And Jesus answered them, 'To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have in abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull.'" Jesus is saying, this was foretold, and Psalm says it. Isaiah said, listen, these people will not hear. They will not hear. So these people had even access to the Old Testament prophets who were foretelling of the Messiah. And this is just one illustration of many that we could point to. These people had the evidences they need as they read the Old Testament prophecies, as they observed Jesus' life. This is the Messiah. They heard him speak. They'd seen the miracles. They'd seen all these things. They'd heard this message where Jesus again has been hitting on this theme. I'm coming back. There's a judgment. And he's saying to them, you see, you have the natural base covered, but you're not tuned into the spiritual. The crowd saw him. They heard him. They could have read about him even from the Old Testament law and the prophets. And yet they did not heed him. Which brings me to an application this morning. And that's this. An application question for us to consider. How responsive are we to Jesus? How responsive are we to Jesus? Jesus is really coming after the crowd, the multitude here, because he was in their midst. He'd been teaching and they've been observing his life. And he's saying, you still don't get it. What about us? Are we reading the words of Scripture? Are we listening to Jesus' words? Are we seeking to follow those things he's called us to do? How responsive are we to Jesus? You know, we can become callous spiritually. We can become busy. All kinds of things can distract us from the spiritual life that we're to be cultivating and and responding to as we hear the words of Jesus in our lives. So how responsive are you to Jesus? We go on to the third big idea here, and that's this. The crowd was to reason for themselves. The crowd was to reason for themselves. Look with me at verse 37, where Jesus says, or 57, I'm sorry, where Jesus says, "Why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? Why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right?" You see, these people could be so spellbound by their religious leaders that they would almost not allow themselves to think for themselves, but they would go with their leader's teachings, their leader's direction. And Jesus is saying here, why do you not even on your own initiative? You have an opportunity here to judge what is right. You can be discerning here. Now, there's some verses that I'd like us to look at that help us all to understand the same truth. Just because I'm here this morning and the one bringing the message doesn't mean that God can't still give you discernment where you sit as you're looking at His Word. Let's look at some scriptures that will just show us that from the Word of God. That Luke 10:21 says this, "In that very time he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight.'" The context of this, Jesus is speaking about the fact that his disciples recognized him as the Messiah, though the religious leaders of the time did not. Listen, you don't have to be an expert in biblical things. You don't have to have had a lot of formal training in biblical things for God to still teach you from his truth. God can reveal to babes. He can reveal to the uneducated. He can reveal to those who haven't had much exposure to the Christian faith. That's the great truth. As you're reading your Bible, God can teach you from his word. Incredible. And then there's another verse too we'd like to take a look at. Let's take a look at Acts 17:11. Now these, speaking about the Bereans, were noble, more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Now we recognize this as a sort of the theme verse for the Bereans, Berean Fellowship, and our Berean church. But here's the situation that's very interesting here. The Apostle Paul is the one bringing the message to this church, and yet these Bereans, they are studying the scriptures to make sure that what they're being taught is true. Even the Apostle Paul had people checking him out by the scriptures. That's the truth that we need to take to heart too. Just because you're being taught doesn't mean your brain checks out. No, let it be active. Let the Word of God continue to speak into your life. Let His Spirit continue to bring to your word, to your mind those scriptures. So again, God gives you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the ability to do that. Let's take a look at another passage. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, 2:14 to 16. "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them," speaking of one who doesn't know Christ, "because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Here's a great truth from the Word of God, and it's this. If you have the Spirit of God within you, if you've been born again, if you've received Christ as your Savior, Lord, if He is there, if you have that relationship with Him, you have the mind of Christ. He has given you that mind to be able to think as He thinks. It's incredible. It's an incredible gift. It's not reserved just for those who are teaching from a pulpit or from the front of a classroom. It's given to everyone who has the Spirit of God, who's a child of God. An incredible thing. We have great faculty that God's given us. It's incredible. Let's take a look at one final one here. Let's take a look at 1 John 2:26 and 27. "These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you abide in him." Now, it'd be easy from just this verse, or these verses that we were given here, to just say, okay, I don't need anyone to teach me then. But that's not really what that's saying. You take a look at all scripture in context. We need to be taught. In fact, I'm taught by people. Whether it's a radio preacher that I listen to or someone else who's bringing a teaching within our church family or reading good books, I'm so thankful for good teachers that God has made available. And I learn from them, greatly learn from them. But the point is, again, if you're a child of God, you have the anointing to be able to understand the truth of yourself. As you read His Word, God brings to understanding the Word of God. It's an incredible gift that has been given to every single person in this room who's a believer in Jesus Christ. It's an incredible gift. I hope you use that. I hope you're using that to be in the Scriptures and to allow God to help you reason through it as you're reading His Word and His Spirit is giving you understanding. I'm going through a course with some others in our church family right now, and one of the things that it's emphasized is the importance as you're preparing your lesson that before you ever consult commentaries, get into it for yourself. It's a great principle for biblical instruction anyway. Let the Word of God teach you. Look at the other portions of Scriptures as the Word of God explains to us the Word of God itself. Allow that to teach us before we ever open up other books. You see, that's a great principle. And it's something that I would encourage you to do as you're reading your Bible. Study it. Look at other verses that help explain what you're looking at. Don't be so quick to run to the experts. Allow God from His Word to teach you. And yeah, there's a place to look those things up. I'm not saying that. I do that myself. But give God room to help you learn yourself as you're digging into His Word, as you're reading it, as you're studying, as you're meditating on it. Let that be the first course of action. Like the day people in Jesus' time, may we, here's the application point, may we learn to reason spiritually. Learn to reason spiritually. How is that done? Well, no other way to do that than to be in the Bible and allow His Spirit to be teaching you as you're in it. So we'd encourage you to do that. Well, here's the fourth point this morning, the fourth and final one, and that's this. The crowd needed to settle with the Lord while they could. The crowd needed to settle with the Lord while they could. Look at what Jesus says in these last few verses, in verses 58 and 59. He says, "For while you are going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate on your way there, make an effort to settle with him so that he may not drag you before the judge and the judge turn you over to the officer and the officer throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not get out of there until you have paid the very last cent." In this situation, in this application here, God is the adversary, the judge, and the officer. Let me explain. God is the adversary in the sense that as we've been coming through this passage, as we understand the Word of God, we are sinful, broken people. And God is holy and pure. And there's a difference there. In that sense, we're His adversary. We are not of His character, naturally speaking. The natural man is not. So He's our adversary in that way. But He's also the judge because He wants justice to be carried out. He wants justice to be done. So He's the judge also. But then He's also the officer. He has the power, as Jesus has talked about earlier in this message, to throw one into hell after death. So not only is there a difference between us and God, but He wants things to be just. He will make things just, and He has the power to throw into hell. All those things are true about the Almighty God. But we're told here to make every effort to settle, that is, to be released, to be delivered. There's an urgency. There's the idea of do it now. Take care of it while you can. Don't let it go to the full justice system and run its full course. It's interesting. I came across an article this past week from a 2008 New York Times article. It was basically, the headline of it was that on studying the justice court cases for 40 years, those who did the study found out that a person is better off to settle out of court than to go through the full legal process run through the whole court trial and all that. You're better to settle out of court, especially if there's a good case against you. Well, consider this, and I find this amazing. The world understands very clearly this idea of not letting a legal issue go all the way through the trial state. If they can settle out of court, it oftentimes works very well for them. The world understands that. They get that. In fact, the majority of cases get settled out of court because they know it's not to their advantage to go the full gamut. But yet, they're going to be just fine going the full gamut with God and stand with Him in the judgment? No way that one comes out of that in a good situation. We need to understand that. You can't pay the moral debt. The passage says you won't get out of there until you pay the very last coin or the very last cent. Jesus is the out-of-court settlement here. It's through coming to God through Christ and asking Him for forgiveness of sin through Christ. That's the settlement. We don't want to get to the end when God makes things right. That's not a good place to be. And that's what He's telling the people of the time. Settle while you can. Because if you go the full gamut, it's not going to be to your benefit. 1982, Reader's Digest, a story told about a sergeant who was training soldiers for their first parachute jump. And he's sitting there talking to the soldiers, training them, and he says, goes through the whole process, this is your main chute, this is how you pull it so that it will open up for you and save you, and if this doesn't work, there is an auxiliary chute, this is how you pull this, this is how you activate it, and this is how this works. And he went through his process of explaining to them exactly how it all worked. And a nervous soldier raised his hand and said, but Sergeant, how long do I have between the time I pull my main chute and it doesn't open until the time I can pull my auxiliary one to open? How much time do I have? Sergeant looked at him very sincerely and says, the rest of your life, soldier. The rest of your life. Now, there's a reality about getting right with God, and that is God graciously has given us the rest of our life to settle with Him. But here's the thing. Some of us have a much shorter time left than others. In fact, I think life has taught all of us, we don't know when our last day will be. It could be today for someone, I pray not, but it could be. Are you ready today? And Jesus is telling the people in His day, be ready because that time of judgment is coming. You don't want to let it go to that point. Settle while you can. Get this straightened out. Come to the Father through me. So here's the final application. We need to settle with the Lord if we've not. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let today be the day you settle with Him. Realize that in God we have someone who's holy, who requires justice, and who has the power to cast into hell. That's what the sermon has been telling us. But we have an opportunity to settle. And the one who settles is Jesus Christ. As we talked about last week, Jesus paid it all. And He offers us today the opportunity to turn from our sin and to come to Him, seeking Him as our Savior and Lord, and to be saved from that sin. And today we have that opportunity. Oh, my friend, please settle with Him while you can. You don't want to let it go to judgment. You don't want to let it go to trial where you cannot pay. This morning we've seen that the crowd knew how to predict the weather. And we too, mankind, understands how to use earthly models to predict and benefit themselves. But Jesus went on to tell the crowd they were hypocritical because even though they pretend to be so discerning in the things of the earth, they were not paying attention to their spiritual destiny. And may we respond to Jesus. Unlike the people that time, may we respond to Him. The crowd was told by Jesus to reason for themselves. And may we too reason from the Scriptures. May we take the time individually to get into God's Word and hear from Him. May we be doing that even on a daily basis. The crowd needed to settle with the Lord while they could. And my friend, I just ask you in closing, have you settled with Him? I pray that you have. If not, please talk to me after the service. Talk to one of our elders. Talk to someone I invited you. We'd love to help you understand what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's the truth. Someday, we will all appear before the Almighty God. And we will appear in one of two ways. We will appear as a forgiven son or daughter in the faith. Or we'll appear as a condemned sinner. And to God, my prayer is that each person in this room will have settled their account with the Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank You this morning for the opportunity You've given to us to hear Jesus' words to the crowds, the multitudes at His time. The truth is, they're words to us as well. And Lord God, I pray that You will work in each heart this morning, bringing it to a conclusion in accordance with Your will. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe someone needs to come to faith in Christ. We pray that that person will yield to You and walk with You. Or maybe someone today who just hasn't been tuning into You, Lord. May each person in this room who knows Jesus Christ, may we be attentive to You. May we allow Your Spirit to teach us. And may we be reasoning in Your Word. May it be a continual ongoing process in our lives. Father, whatever You would have us do this morning, I pray that we would be sensitive to Your leading in our life. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.